From Hollywood, California, and a South Pacific base at Port Moresby on New Guinea, Autolite brings you Everything for the Boys, the command theater of the air starring Mr. Ronald Coleman. Everything for the Boys is presented by the Electric Autolite Company and its 22 great manufacturing plants. Builders of precision equipment for 35 years. World famous for Autolite spark plugs, battery electrical systems for automotive, aviation, and marine use. Your host, Mr. Ronald Coleman.
Thank you, and good evening. It seems only the other day that a remote pinpoint on a map in the South Pacific, known as Port Moresby, held the attention of all of us. For over the Owen Stanley Mountains, the Japanese were coming. Tonight, by means of shortwave radio, we're going 5,000 miles over war zones down to this Port Moresby. Two American soldiers. They've been in that battle area for a long time now, and they're naturally very anxious to talk to someone from home. Our play tonight is dedicated to these boys. It's of exceptional interest, not only because of the original drama, and because the music you will hear with it is the emotional love music of Tristan and Isolde, but also because of our leading lady. As you know, in the few weeks we've been on the air, we've had many outstanding stars on this program. In the weeks to come, we'll have Miss Betty Davis, Miss Ann Baxter, and Miss Ida Lupino, to mention only a few of those you will hear. But tonight, since Arch Oboler's original play was written especially for radio, we have asked radio's most talented and versatile actress to be with us. Her name is Mercedes McCambridge. Gentlemen of the United States Armed Forces in the South Pacific, we dedicate to you a play of our time, The Women Stayed at Home.
A word first about another soldier. DeMeo used to work at the Autolite plant. He helped make many millions of 20-millimeter armor-piercing shells for anti-aircraft guns. Robert performed his task well. Because he knew success in battle depended a great deal on the quality of our equipment. He was mighty proud of the stamp so many of the cases bore, the stamp that represented his crew. And then one day, Robert went off to war and soon found himself in the middle of a Jap air raid. While he was breaking open a fresh box of ammunition, a smile crept across his face. There on the outside was the old familiar mark made by his crew. Months before, Robert was proud of his stamp, but now the Autolite markings on that case meant more to him. They meant these shells were made right. Everything about them was right. Here in the face of enemy fire, he really understood why Autolite checked, tested, and rechecked their products. Every single step of every operation. In battle, there can be no substitute for quality. Wherever our boys are fighting, they have learned such Autolite equipment. In the firing lines, as on the home front, the name Autolite means precision manufacturing. The scene, a windswept coast of Norway. It is night. For once, the sea is calm. It waits ominously upon the edge of the shore where sits a woman. She speaks, and her words lift out to the sea on the rush of the wind.
Lonely? Yes, I was lonely. And I did what I did because I can tell you. This is a quiet place. When I was very young, it was all right. I could run with the other children, and it was all right. But when I grew older, it was lonely. The sea, the wind, the gulls flying. Is that enough for a girl? Yes. I was very lonely. Father died at sea. A storm, his boat. Then mother. For the first time, I really was alone. No, I talk of that. Tell you of Hjalmar. He came to the village a month after Mother died. He had a pack on his back and a smile that lifted the heart. I met him right where we sit.
Hello, girl.
Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry if I startled you.
I didn't know that.
Yes, I know. My mother used to say that of me, too. Walk like a cat on tiptoe. Why, it's a pleasant day, eh?
Yes, isn't it?
Where are you from?
That house?
Well, it's a strange, lonely place to build a house, isn't it?
Yes.
May I tell you my name? It's Hjalmar Olafsson. Would you tell me yours?
Celia.
Celia. Celia, it's a lovely name. Do you mind if I tell you this? Do you mind?
I didn't mind. I didn't mind anything he told me. The village was so happy the day we married. It's good to remember.
Celia.
Yes, darling.
I want you.
I'm yours.
Always mine. Always mine.
Always mine. He said that. Always mine. Tell me, how long is always? It's always the moment he held me and his lips were tight on mine and his arms held me and he... No. Why should I ask? I really know. Always with him was that night. Because in a few nights...
Dead. Drowned at sea. His fishing boat went under.
Do you know what that meant?
Goodbye, Hjalmar Olafsson. The Lord in his wisdom has buried you in the boundless grave of the ocean. We bow our heads and we weep our tears.
Do you know what that meant? I was alone again. Yes, alone again. But a new loneliness, a horrible loneliness... You had nothing, all right, you know nothing. But I'd had something now. His look, his laugh, his lips, his arms, the crush of his arms. I was alone again. A day and a night. A day and a night. One after the other. An empty day after an empty night. An empty day, an empty night, over and over and over. And there was no end. There could be no end to it until there was an end of me. No end to it until there was an end of me. And then...
This village is now part of the Greater German Reich.
I heard it from far down the village. Couldn't quite understand. A soldier shouting.
This village is now part of the Greater German Reich. England is now your enemy. England is now your enemy.
The Greater German Reich? The enemy? War means something to those who have something to fight for, to live for. But when you have nothing... Empty days after empty nights. Over again. Over again. And again I began to think. No end to it. Until there is an end of me. Why not? Walk into the sea. Let the sea fill my emptiness, cover my loneliness. Why not? Why not? Water was dark. Deeper and deeper into it. Cold against me. Cold as the days and the nights. But this coldness would end, and with that ending put a finish to the ache in me. And then something touched me. I looked down, falling in the water. Hjalmar! The thought echoing in my head, and then... No. No, a stranger. Someone... I dragged him out of the water to the beach. Dead? No. Carried him to the house. Warmed him. Hour after hour. Morning. He opened his eyes. In the first light of the sun, I saw they were blue. As blue as Hilmar had been.
Well, please tell me where I am.
His first word.
I must know. Where am I?
English. He was speaking English.
Well, tell me. I'm a British flyer. My plane, I bailed out. I'm so tired.
British flyer.
This village is now part of the greater German Reich. The British are your enemy. The British are your enemy.
The enemy? He? The enemy? I looked at him again. He was sleeping now. Something twisted in my heart. He slept the way Hilmar had slept that night. Head in the crook of his arm. Sandy hair curling down on a forehead smooth and brown. Tell them. He was sick. I had to make him well. How many days went? All I remember are moments.
Celia, why are you so shy? I just say your name and you turn as red as the sunset out there. Why don't you talk to me? Your English is very good when you want to use it. Please talk to me, Celia. Please talk to me.
Soon he was well enough to be up and about. I gave him a suit of Hjalmar's to wear. He would sit in the window looking out at the sea. And I would work and listen to him.
I tell you, flying is wonderful, Celia. The first time you fly alone, it's like being born again because it's a new world and you're alone in it. The only world that seems to matter is the sky. The earth is a flat, drab place. You don't want to go back to it because the sky is your home. I'd like to take you up flying with me sometime, Celia, and show you what I mean.
Suddenly I realized something. I wasn't lonely anymore. Not lonely. Can you understand what that means? To have had nothing and then to have something. Someone to talk to listen to laugh with, to love.
This village is now part of the greater German Reich. English is your enemy.
I went down to the village again and heard of many things down there in the village.
Silence! Silence! 10 hostages have been taken from among you. If any criminal action occurs within this area, these men, women, and children will be immediately executed. Such criminal acts include harboring enemies of the greater German Reich.
The enemy? The enemy? He was no enemy. He was in my house and he was in my heart. All right, I said it. In my heart. He spoke to me that night.
Celia, there's something I must say to you.
Yes, John?
You're not happy.
John.
Because of me.
John, please.
I know. There's great danger having me here.
No.
It's true. But that isn't the only reason you're unhappy. Somehow I know it. All the things we've talked about. The decent world and what's happened to it. It was much more pleasant to live here alone by the sea and not think of war and cruelty and injustice.
I wanted to know.
And I love you for it. I love you for what's in your face now. The worry for people. The good people who are with us no matter where we are, whether we're away from them or with them, in this village, in my village. And no matter what the cost is to us, even our last happiness, we've always got to think of them. Always.
Oh, John.
Oh, my dearest.
I love you, John. I love you. So I said it. And his arms came close around me. And there was no earth or sky or death. After that, all stood still in wonder, and then in a rush were gone. Warm hours, lazy hours, wonderful hours. Hours when the sky reached down and lifted us up to the clouds, and we... Oh, John. And then a new day, a morning. Sun awakened me. John? No. John? John, where are you? John, where are you? John! Gone. I cried. Not very long. You see, I understood. Always in our hours together, there'd been a cloud. And with each passing day, that cloud would have grown larger and larger until there was no warmth of sun for us. The cloud of fear that someone of the invaders in the village would see us, see him, and seeing him end my world for me. And he knew that. And so he went away. Where? I don't know. I like to think he took a boat during the night and sailed out to sea in it back to where he came from. Back to his small village by the cliffs. I like to think that...
No matter what the cost is to us, even our last happiness, we've got to think of them.
I like to think that he knows I'm fighting now, too, for the good people. Someday the fighting will be over. It must end. He'll come back to me. I'll never be lonely anymore.
Just heard Mr. Ronald Coleman and his guest, Miss Merced Women, Stayed at Home, an originaler. The music of Tristan and Isolde was arranged and conducted by Mr. Gordon Jenkins. While our engineers complete the shortwave circuit between Mr. Coleman here in Hollywood and two young American soldiers overseas, may I speak of a matter of importance to you? Do you know... Cold weather is one of the worst enemies the battery in your car must fight. Well, here's why. Most of us know that cold engines are harder to start and consequently take more energy out of the battery. But it's also true that as temperatures drop, the electrical efficiency of your battery drops too, sometimes as much as half of its normal capacity. That's why this time of year it pays to give your battery extra care. A few simple precautions can help you get longer battery life. For instance, make sure the battery connections are clean and tight, that there's enough liquid in the battery to cover the plates, and that the battery is bolted tightly in its frame. Perhaps the easiest and best way to make your car battery last longer is to have it inspected regularly by one of the thousands of auto light service stations, your car dealer, or a reliable serviceman. And if your battery needs replacement, buy an auto light, the original equipment battery chosen by leading automotive engineers. Remember, the name Autolite means precision manufacturing.
In a few minutes, we'll be out over the Pacific. And if we have the same good luck we've had for the past 5 weeks, we'll be talking to two boys at Port Moresby. Well, this is everything for the boys. And, of course, we get many requests, and we only wish we could oblige with all of them. Only today...
What about this one, Mr. Coleman? It's addressed to you. I'll just read part of it. It says, "We all enjoyed Berkeley Square with Greer Garson, but how about something from real life, Mr. Coleman? Tell us the story of your own romantic past."
Oh, no. No.
Oh, come on, remember. This is everything for the boys. Come on, Gordon Jenkins, a little romantic music, please.
No, really,
Mr. Coleman, we all know you're very tight-lipped when it comes to your private affairs.
Oyster is my middle name.
And the soldier also adds, "You must have known lots of girls in your time, Mr. Coleman."
Thousands.
What, romances?
Sure. There was Helen and Rose and Maggie and Sophie and the girl next door and... And yes, the one I met at Atlantic City.
Oh, hey,
and
wait.
And Murray,
one will
and
be
Tate,
enough.
And, of course, there's always Jane. Yes, I think you ought to know about Jane. That is, of course, if you care to go back that far. The year when Jane was 21. And that year, I was 23. That was the year. That was the spring we planted the white magnolia tree. Oh, young and wild and aflame were we when we planted the white magnolia tree. This, she said, shall be our tree. And every year it will bloom anew. This is our life. This is our love. And the white magnolia grew and grew. Jane was 21. And she wore a plume in her hat. And we went to the movies and wept over broken blossoms. And then we booked passage on a sightseeing bus. And she sang Love Sends a Little Gift of Roses. A little off-key, but very nicely, really. All the way to Coney Island. Where suddenly, somehow, we were on a roller coaster. Shouting and rapturous. A tumult in the blood all the way. There is so much the young heart clamors for. This it must have, and that it can't live without, and it must be all or nothing. For aren't we the masters of creation? Oh, valiant and untamed were we when we planted the white magnolia tree. And the white magnolia grew and grew, holding our love within its core, and every year it bloomed anew. And we were 21 no more. No more enchanted, no more so free, nor so young, nor so wild and aflame were we. Dearer to us then grew the lesser things. Easy sleep, books, a day's quiet holiday, good talk beside a fire, the beauty of old faces. Ah, we've known many things since then. The death of a child, and the bitter lesson that a heart which breaks must mend itself again, that it can and must be done. And what loyalty can mean, and how real a word like courage can become. There is so little the serious heart requires. Friends, a window open to the world, pride in work well done, and strength to live in a world at war and still maintain the heart's own private peace. Dear heaven. Dear heaven, I give thanks to thee for the things I did not know before, and for wisdom and maturity, for bread and a roof, and for one thing more. Thanks because I still can see the bloom on the white magnolia tree. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and thanks to Helen Deutsch for her lovely poem.
We'll be ready with your South Pacific call in a few seconds, Mr. Coleman.
Thank you, engineer. As you know, last week after Bob Burns and I talked to an American ranger in England, to a bazooka accompaniment, we announced this week's port of call, Port Moresby. A telephone call came to us then from a mother here in Los Angeles. She told us her son was somewhere in the South Pacific and that she... let her speak for herself. Mrs. Gamill, won't you say again what you said to me?
Well, my son is stationed at a base somewhere in the South Pacific. He's been there over a year. I know I can't talk to him, but if I could talk to some other boys near where he is, somehow it would bring him close to me. Don't you understand?
Yes, of course we do, Mrs. Gamill. That you're here, and I hope that...
Mr. Coleman, your guinea's standing by.
Thank you, engineer. They're ready to talk to us, Mrs. Gamill. Here, take this headphone. You'll hear the boys through it, and you can talk direct to them through this microphone. Hello, Port Moresby. This is Ronald Coleman in Hollywood calling.
Hello, Mr. Coleman. This is Port Moresby, New Guinea.
Is that you, Sergeant Werman?
Yes, sir.
And is Private Peter Seletos there?
I am, Mr. Coleman. How's the weather up in Hollywood?
The weather? Well, the temperature is censored. The wind velocity is censored, but confidentially and between ourselves, I'm carrying an umbrella.
I get it.
Sergeant Werman, I'm told that you're the top pharmacist in the Army hospital down there.
Yes, sir. I'm head man on the iodine squad.
The iodine squad? Your folks back in Everett, Massachusetts, want to know if you're still interested in opening a drugstore when you get back.
What did you say, Mr. Coleman?
I said in Everett, Massachusetts. They want to know if you'll be opening a drugstore when you get back.
Sure. But I won't fill any prescriptions in my drugstore. I've had enough of that kind of stuff.
Well, what will you sell?
Oh, tires. And banana splits and silk stockings and chicken legs and meat cakes and bathing caps.
Modern design, eh? Well, now, anything you'd like to know from home, Sergeant?
Yes. How's my mother?
Oh, your mother's feeling much better. And speaking of mothers, there's someone here...
Oh, I'm a little nervous. Please, Mr. Coleman, not now.
All right. The lady here will talk to you later. Meanwhile, how about you, Private Siletos? I'm told that you and men like Sergeant Werman are the unsung heroes of the South Pacific. You work in the hospital, you cook, you're phone operators, you bring in supplies under fire.
Oh, nothing heroic about it, Mr. Coleman. There's anything to be done, and everybody's got to pitch in. It's a long way yet to Tokyo.
Ah, I'm going to repeat those words for the home folks, Peter. Everyone's got to pitch in because it's a long way to Tokyo. Now, Mrs. Gamble, are you ready to talk now?
Oh, yes.
Fellas, here with me in the studio is Mrs. Noreen Gamil. Her son's a CB down there, somewhere in your vicinity. Mrs. Gamil, meet the boys.
Hello, boys.
Hello. How are you?
Oh, my boy's name is William E. Gamil. Do you know him?
No, we don't, Mrs. Gamil. But is there anything we can do for you?
Well, in his last letter, he said it was very hot down there. Would you tell him to stay in out of the sun as much as he can?
Oh, we're healthy down here, Mrs. Gamil. We've got the best of everything, except for one thing.
Except for one thing? Well, what's that, Peter?
Chocolate eclairs.
Chocolate eclairs? Oh, that's funny. That's just what my boy likes. And chocolate pudding and chocolate pies.
You're talking about my favorite dish.
Well, when you get back, why don't you come over to my house and I'll make you some.
Where do you live?
4805 Gloria Avenue, Encino, California.
Got it.
Boys, is there anything we can do for you right now?
Keep that blood plasma pump.
Plasma? We will.
Mr. Coleman.
Yeah.
He got a valentine from his girlfriend.
What's that? He got a valentine?
Yes, but he can't send her one. We're fresh out of valentines down here.
All right, Private Siletos. Tell me your girlfriend's name and address, and I'll send her one.
Hey, do you think I'm crazy?
Time's up, Mr. Coleman.
Mrs. Gamil, anything more you want to say to the boys?
Oh, boys, please don't forget. His name is William E. Gamil. If you see him, tell him I miss him and think of him.
We'll tell him.
Well, goodbye, fellas. We're run out of time.
So long, Mr. Coleman.
Give my regards to the Philadelphia Field.
I will.
Goodbye, Mrs. Gamil.
Goodbye, boys, and bless you.
Goodbye, fellas. Ladies and gentlemen, the circuit to New Guinea is broken. You heard one of the boys say that the most important thing we can send them is plasma, our blood. Blood is something those boys can't buy down there. Only we can give it to them. It's good to think that each time one of us brings our blood through a Red Cross Center door, another of our boys is brought back to life.
Again next week, Autolite invites you to be present for this new global half hour, Everything for the Boys, uniting the home front with the battle front overseas. Your host, Ronald Coleman, will have as his guest Miss Ida Lupino in a dramatization by Arch Obler of the very exciting novel Rogue Mail.
Until next week, then, when you will hear from two Red Cross workers in active service abroad and my guest, Miss Ida Lupino, this is Ronald Coleman saying good night to you and the boys, and God be with you.
The appearance of Army personnel does not constitute endorsement of the product advertised. This program has come to you from Hollywood and New Guinea. This is the National Broadcasting Company.